to see you here at our harvest service. I'm going to hand over to Elaine, who's going to take us through some of the intimations.
Welcome to our service of worship this morning, especially any newcomers or visitors. Visitors may wish to sign the visitor's book. We celebrate Harvest Thanksgiving today. Donations of packaged goods will be sent to the food bank, while fresh goods will be sold after worship this morning, with the proceeds also going to the food bank. And you can see we've got really quite a lot of stuff here. Please stay after worship for tea, coffee and a chat. Our next coffee morning is next Saturday, the 4th of October, from 10 till 12. Come along for tea, coffee, home baking and a chat, and browse the bric-a-brac stall too. And before we go into the walking group, a date for your diary. Our Christmas craft fair will be the 1st of November. There will be a list in the vestibule for helpers, because for that day we need quite a lot of helpers so that we can split up the tasks, and it gives people a wee rest and a break. So the walking group, there's an outing next Sunday, the 5th of October, to Town Hill Lock with the usual coffee stop. Meet in the church car park at 2 p.m. Contact Maureen Black, 0133 881 872 for information. The Blytheswood Shoebox Appeal. The church is once again supporting the Blytheswood Care Shoebox Appeal, and you can help in various ways. Filling a shoebox with items from the checklist. There are also filler ideas on the website, but also stories and the video which shows people receiving the boxes. Giving items from the list, which we'll then use to fill empty shoeboxes. Making a donation of money towards transport costs, and providing empty shoeboxes, because we're always looking for shoeboxes. But also, if you need a shoebox, we have some which are already wrapped in the mats. Quite a few. Yeah. Please bring any donations to church from now until the 2nd of November. Finally, here is a look at the order of service.
Let's worship God now. We're going to sing "Come You Thankful People Come," hymn number 233.
Oh,
Let us pray. Almighty God, we ask your blessing upon our giving. We present before you gifts of produce, gifts of money, gifts of ourselves as your servants in the world. Bless all that we offer, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And Marion is going to be leading us in prayer today. I had to look down there as Marion walked away, and I thought, I hope Marion's leading us in prayer today.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, we rejoice this day in the greatness of your love, the fullness of your provision. We come together, surrounded by the fruits of your creation, the rich variety and plenty of another harvest. Receive then our worship for your giving and sustaining life, for the constancy of the seasons, for the regular pattern of day and night, for the wonderful riches of our world. Receive also our praise for the human labour that is part of harvest, the preparing and sowing, the cultivating and growing, the reaping and packaging, the transporting and selling. Eternal God, we thank you that you allow us to work hand in hand with you, nurturing and gathering in the fruitfulness of your creation. Help us to recognize the responsibility that involves, and so be faithful stewards of all you have given. So may our lives, as well as our words, offer to you our joyful thanksgiving and heartfelt worship. Gracious God, we have so much to thank you for. Your creation, so rich, and the resources you have given us, so many. And yet, we all too rarely show our gratitude. We take your blessings for granted, complaining about what we haven't got, instead of rejoicing in what we have. What harvest do we show in our lives, Lord? In what ways do we bear fruit, reflecting the work of your Spirit within us? Too often we fail to practice what we preach. Our discipleship proving barren. Reach out in mercy and nurture the seeds you have sown within us so that they may truly grow and flourish to your glory. We ask it in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We're going to sing quite a few traditional harvest hymns. And of course, I'm not sure if I've ever been to a harvest service where we've not sung We Plough the Fields and Scatter. So let's sing hymn 229, We Plough the Fields and Scatter.
Thank you.
prior to the Industrial Revolution, the population of this country was around about 10% urban and 90% rural. These percentages are reversed when we get to the late 20th century and, of course, the beginning of this century. The process of urbanisation has been rapid, but not instant. If we look at our family trees and go back about 100 years, virtually everybody here will have either a farmer or a farm worker as part of that tree. My earliest memory in life is of visiting a farm. My great uncle and aunt were farm workers. My mother remembered her uncle, my great uncle, as a ploughman with horses. By my childhood, he was driving a tractor. Even in the first half of the 20th century, it took a significant number of people to work a farm. Though by this time, many more folk lived and worked in towns and cities. Last weekend at Presbytery, Arthur Christie, the moderator of Presbytery, talked about three harvests from his youth. He grew up in the east of Fife. He talked about a harvest of coal. He talked about the harvest that we think of as harvest, which is agriculture. And he talked too of that harvest that is from fishing, the harbours along the East Nuke. Depending on where we grew up, we might list other things. From my past, even though they were disappearing very quickly, there were still quite a number of wool mills down in the borders. We might think of all sorts of commerce or industry from where we grew up. In Edinburgh in the 70s and 80s, there was a move away from what we think of as traditional harvest Thanksgiving. There in the city, very few people recognised a connection to the countryside. If harvest is the result of labour, most labour in Edinburgh was involved in some kind of financial institution. At that time, living in the city, I kind of understood the logic. But looking back, I think it was a mistake. Yes, not a bad thing to lose a romanticised version of Harvest Festival. Something that harks back to a kind of Victorian picture of Britain that was never a reality and mostly a fiction doesn't really help. However, to lose that idea of our dependence upon the land was wrong. Every one of us, regardless of where we live or work, is dependent upon these things. And we ought to remember that we are dependent not just upon creation, but upon those who work the land. We need to remember that we depend on a lot of folk for what we might call our daily bread, as we did in the Lord's Prayer. And it's not an option, really, to remember those folk and give thanks. And I wasn't sure if I was going to do this here or not, because I depended on there being a farmer here. And I issued a challenge down in Limekilns, and that was to answer two questions very briefly. Now I'm looking at James. I might as well have you come out to the microphone so people can see you. He has no idea I'm going to do this to him. I've got two questions. So very briefly, tell us something that's been good this year in terms of harvest, and tell us something that's maybe caused a bit of anxiety this year.
Okay. The harvest this year has actually been, it's hard not to complain actually, but it's been very good. Yeah, you heard it.
Ooh, a happy farmer.
A happy farmer.
Now we believe in miracles.
It's been, the weather over the past 13 months has been absolutely fantastic for us. There's been times in the year when we thought, oh, it's too dry, it's this, it's that, but on average it has balanced out fine, it has balanced out well. It's been a great harvest, a very intensive harvest, a very quick harvest. The downside to it has been the quality's not been there. Because there's been a lot of dry weather, the grains haven't fulfilled out to what they should have been. But, I mean, you even look at your gardens or your, you go through woods or that, beech nuts, apples and trees, it's been phenomenal, the growth this year, whether you're farming or whether nature generally or whatever. But I suppose that's the downside, the quality's not there. But, all in all, it's been, the bulk's there, the quantity's there, but the quality's not, all in all, it's been fine, it's been good. Does that answer your question?
That is wonderful. Well done. Although, interestingly, some of the conkers are really good. I was handed this by somebody walking into Limekiln's church and said, I've got a present for you. I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do with a conker. It is a long time since I've played conkers. We're going to have some readings on harvest now. The first of those readings begins with words about harvest and how those harvesting should behave. Quite a traditional reading for this Sunday. And then our New Testament reading is going to be a reading, I don't know how many times we'll have used it on a harvest Sunday, and it is the story, it's the parable of the sower, and Margaret is going to read for us. You might need to move the Margaret, you might need to move the microphone, because you're maybe not as tall as some people.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay.
I thought you wanted to do it from memory. That wasn't going to happen. The first reading this morning is from Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 to 18, Holy Living in Practice. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them from the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not deceive one another. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Do not defraud or rob your neighbour. Do not hold back the wages of a hired worker overnight. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. I am the Lord. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favouritism to the great, but judge your neighbour fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbour's life. I am the Lord. Do not hate a fellow Israelite in your heart. Rebuke your neighbour frankly so that you will not share in their guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbour as yourself. I am the Lord. Our second reading comes from the New Testament, Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9. The parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it. while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came up and ate it. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on the ground, on the good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Amen.
Hymn 155, Think of a World Without Any Flowers. On a different kind of field, on the sports field, it is useful to know the rules. This is true for the athlete and also true for the spectator. You have to know how to play the game, and for those who are watching, it's good to know what the rules are and what players can and can't do. Knowing rules is about how to play or compete. This is the positive side. Unfortunately, there is also a negative. Rules set limits of what can and cannot be done for fair play, because sometimes the desire to win takes over. Winning regardless is an attitude that ruins many a sport, many a game. In all honesty, I have never understood a phrase that is quite often used by football commentators. And that is, after a player has fallen to the ground, the declaration is that such and such a player has won a penalty. You see, in my mind, if a foul has been committed, the perpetrator is penalised and the victim is compensated. Doesn't matter whether it's person or team. I don't think you win a penalty. Cheating to win means an empty victory, a tarnished medal or trophy. In life, rules are even more important. And again, there are both positives and negatives. The positive in a lot of rules is the encouragement to fairness and justice. And the negative is that prevention of wrong. In that list of laws that we read from the book of Leviticus, I chose to begin at verse 9 of chapter 19 because it talks about harvest. Not a surprise, since this is Harvest Thanksgiving. There we have a rule with the purpose of providing for the poor and the foreigner. If we want to see this rule in action, you just need to go to the book of Ruth in the Old Testament. And there is the story of Ruth meeting Boaz. Ruth, as a very young widow, her mother-in-law, without land or income, they've returned to their home in Israel. And as many would have done, Ruth went out at the time of the harvest to pick up what was left. Boaz observes Ruth and learns of her care and loyalty to her mother-in-law. And his words to his workers in the field was to make sure that they didn't harvest right to the edge, that they should leave some of the harvest. That was this rule working things out. And of course, Ruth and Boaz, from their line comes King David. In the list of laws from Leviticus, it seemed right to stop at verse 18. The verse may be about not seeking revenge, but there is also a statement that Jesus used when he was asked a question about God's law. When Jesus was asked, "What is the most important law?" he said, "Love the Lord your God with your whole being," to paraphrase his answer. But he didn't stop there. He said, "The second is like it." And that second part was, "Love your neighbour as yourself." Love your neighbour as yourself encapsulates what is often referred to as the golden rule. Do to others as you would have them do to you. This is at the heart of many religions and legal systems. But love your neighbour goes further. Here is the motivation for good and right relationship with others. Love your neighbour is not qualified by anything else. It's not love your neighbour if they are nice, because Jesus will say, love your enemy. Jesus will say, love those who persecute you. In between rules on the harvest and love your neighbour is a whole list of things that you shouldn't do. All those do nots. And in a sense, love your neighbour means that none of those should come to mind. Where law gives us guidelines for living in a right and fair way, they embrace the concept of love your neighbour. The kind of rules and laws that curb bad behaviour are there because we fail to live by love your neighbour. And then we turn now to the parable of the sower. Jesus chooses something that would have been very well known to the people he was talking to, because they'd watched people farming. Most of them would have farmed themselves. Here's an illustration from everyday life that would have been very familiar. If we had jumped on to verse 18, we would have read Jesus' explanation of the parable, because his disciples, probably a little bit confused, What did he mean by this? And Jesus says to his disciples that this is about the kingdom of God. The seed is words about the kingdom. So the seed that falls on the path, that's about those who will not listen. And in many ways, it will be those who know that they are right from the beginning. We are God's people. We don't need to hear about this. We don't need your advice, Jesus. We are already right with God. Although they were living in a way where they needed words like do not lie, do not steal, do not take revenge. He said that the seed that falls on the rocky ground are those who say, this is really good, Jesus. But actually, they are too hard inside, hard of heart. And so the seed germinates for a moment and then it withers, because selfishness so easily takes over. The seed that falls among thorns are those who try to fit the word in with a life that is full of worldly concern, and the weeds grow up and choke the grain. It's what Jesus calls the deceitfulness of wealth. But of course, there is the seed that falls on good ground. And these are those who embrace God's kingdom, who want to be those who love their neighbor, those who love God with every part of their being, who look at everything around them as a gift from God. And this is at the heart of God's kingdom. We understand that agricultural illustration, and it can be applied to all sorts of aspects of life, where good words can fall on barren ground, but good words can also germinate and produce fruit. But what about Harvest Thanksgiving, or connection to our Old Testament reading? Well, this is the fourth Sunday in our series on the season of creation, a moment in time to remember and celebrate God as creator and creation as a gift. The title for this year is Peace with Creation. The predominant philosophies of our time, and particularly in this society, are a mix of materialism and individualism. This has led to a society where greed has become a virtue and avarice admired. If we were to apply the predominant philosophies of our time to the harvest rule of Leviticus, now it would be said the right thing is to ensure that we completely take what we think is ours, because in today's world, I am the most important person there is. There is no peace because love for neighbour is too costly. There is no peace because creation exists to serve us. There is no peace because we have made ourselves God. We don't look at the other as created in the image of God. And if God is thought about at all, God is blamed. Many have forgotten our dependence upon creation. In a society that looks to science, we even refuse to believe in science when it says things we don't want to hear. And so there are those in authority who will tell us that global warming and human misuse of creation is a myth, and mainly because it affects wealth. There possibly has never been a time in history when Harvest Thanksgiving was more important than it is now. We are here to rejoice in creation and in harvest. We are here to remember how dependent we are on God's good grace and this creation of which we are part and depend upon, and to remember those many upon whom we depend. If it comes down to it, how many of us could live independently of others? There's probably only one person in the church today who could actually grow their own food and survive. Maybe. If you look at my garden, you would know that I would starve very, very quickly, unless you can eat weeds. We are interdependent not just on local farmers and farms, which we are, but we are dependent upon people across our world. Just think what you ate this morning for breakfast, what you'll eat for your lunch, what you'll have for your tea, maybe the coffee that you drink or the tea or whatever it is. We are dependent upon so many people, and where some do without, it harms us too, because humanity is one family. That quotation from David Kirkpatrick, who is, I think he's a film producer. I think he's very much involved in the film industry. But he wrote this: "We were put on this magical planet not to dominate and consume her, but to care for her and love her, to harrow gently, to harvest gratefully, to build reasonably." We are those who honour the Lord of the harvest. We are those who have ears to hear, because we acknowledge that Almighty God is Lord, and that creation is a gift and a responsibility, because we are God's people. Amen. Let's sing now, "Praise God for the Harvest of Orchard and Field," hymn number 230.
Yeah.
now our prayers for others. And again, Marian is going to lead us in prayer.
Let us pray. Loving God, you have taught us through Jesus that our neighbours are not just those who live next door or those who live nearby, but everyone, everywhere. And so now, once again, we pray for our world, our neighbours near and far. We pray for the victims of injustice, those who live in poverty or face starvation or have no roof over their heads. We pray for victims of natural disasters, those whose homes, loved ones, and lives have been destroyed through flood, earthquake, or other catastrophe. We pray for victims of war, those who mourn loved ones, those maimed and wounded, and those forced to flee as refugees, leaving possessions, livelihoods, and everything they hold dear. We pray for the sick and disabled in our community, especially those known to us in our church family. May they take comfort in the knowledge of your love. Living God, teach us to respond, to reach out to our troubled, divided world, recognizing the call of our neighbour in the cry of the needy, to see that whatever may divide us, more unites, that beyond our differences lies a common humanity. Help us to ensure that love triumphs over hatred, goodness over evil, justice over corruption, and peace over war. May the time come when as individuals and as nations we live together as neighbours, members together of an extended family of humankind, for we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
A closing praise, hymn number 153, Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, my Father.
Thank you.
May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face, the rains fall soft upon your fields, and until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, go with you and be with you always.